Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, if you had any doubt that we're in the grip of a fascist, tyrannical state, let this midterm leave no doubt about it. We've all been trying to figure out how Biden won a record low of only 16.7% of all U.S. counties in 2020, yet supposedly won the election with the most votes in history. It was absurd then. It is absurd now. All the polls were against it, every trend, every tendency. No reasonable person had any enthusiasm about this guy or his administration. This is a garbage government, absolute garbage government. Everything they're doing is despicable, harmful to America. Beginning where? Even their January 6th effort has fizzled in relation to the midterm. Warning of an existential threat to democracy of the same Republicans who voted to keep Trump in power take the reins of Congress. But it's fallen flat. Nobody gives a damn about the Capitol attack. During the Harvard Caps Harris poll, inflation ranked number one. The Capitol attack, 19th. We had massive polls showing conservative Latinos swinging toward Republicans. A new poll shows Republican gain with the Latinos are being driven by conservative-leaning voters who have swung massively away from the Democrat Party and now represent a solid GOP base. The finding is described by NBC reporter Mike Murray as fascinating. He noted that Telemundo poll from 2012 showed conservative Latinos wanting Democrats to control Congress by a 9-point margin. Today, that number has shifted toward Republicans by a 56-point measure. That's a net 65-point swing in a decade, and it helps to explain how Republicans have cut into Democrats' lead among Latino voters. Stunning. Even Biden's own pollster was predicting this was going to be a realignment election because so many Latinos and so many blacks were moving toward the Republicans. CBS poll, GOP turns tide on Dems' momentum in midterms. Republicans have staved off a Democrat run through the summer, having seen the GOP House projection lead shrink for 3 months before the latest CBS Battleground Tracker poll. Republicans now projected to hold 224 seats to the Democrats' 211. The top issues are also in Republicans' favor. Economy, 80%. Inflation, 76%. Crime, 68%. Led among likely voters, viewing them as very important. A near majority of likely voters, 48%, said Democrats' economic policies have been harmful. 28%, and who in the world are these, said they have been helpful. Abortion remains an important issue, but a poll showed a 5-point decline of those who say abortion is very important. 68% said Biden admin should do more to curb inflation. 65% say economy is getting worse. 45% say Biden policies bear a great deal of responsibility for the economy. Just 8% Biden bears no responsibility for the economy. A plurality. Republican policies would help the economy, 42%, compared to 33% who believe they would harm. A majority of both Republicans, 55%, and 54% of the Democrats consider the opposition party to be extreme. Here's another real clear poll. GOP candidates dominate with Catholics in 6 states, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, just 2 weeks before the midterm election. They surveyed 500 Catholics. They placed a high priority on the economy, inflation, and jobs, choosing among various candidates. But get this, why would anyone be surprised that Catholics aren't going to be enthusiastic about the extreme abortion position promoted by the Democrats? They say you should have an unrestricted right to abort your fetus for any reason whatsoever, right up to the moment of birth. And some go even further into infanticide. We saw that in Virginia. The governor was advocating infanticide. Remember, under Roe, during the third trimester, after viability clicks in at the end of the second trimester, meaning the ability of the fetus to live external to the interuterine environment, any abortion other than to save the life or preserve the health of the mother is murder. This extreme Democrat position is by far the most unpopular in the country. Get this, white suburban women favor GOP by 15 points, prefer Donald Trump over Joe Biden. Think about this. White suburban women favor Republican by 15 points, moving 27 points away from Democrats since August. The demographic of white suburban women represent 20% of the electorate is a key indicator which party will control Congress after April 8th. Among their greatest concerns is Democrats' soaring inflation. 66% of white suburban women say inflation is causing major financial hardship, up from 54% in August. Again, 54% of white suburban women believe Biden's economy is a recession. 74% say it's headed in the wrong direction. The issue the Democrats are most touting, of course, is far less relevant than the sagging economy. And that, of course, is abortion. It's absolutely true. These women have shifted their gaze more toward the economy than abortion, said Democrat pollster Molly Murphy. Meanwhile, even the liberal Washington Post admitted GOP loves Trump, Dems dislike Biden. Even the Democrats don't like their own president. The mega love for former President Trump dwarfs the tepid support for President Biden, as even the Washington Post Philip Bump, an irascible Trump critic, admitted. He's unpopular, with members of his own party calling for him not to run again, Bump wrote of Biden. He's also already the oldest president in history, older at the start than Ronald Reagan was at the end of his second term. He lamented Biden's hints of running for re-election despite tepid support, soaring inflation, and a sagging economy, while noting Trump may need to be treated for a sprain after winking so aggressively at the idea of running for his old office in 2024. We all know he's going to do it. We have no doubt about it. Meanwhile, think of the policies, one after another, that Congress has been promoting contrary to the will of the American people. Congress trying to ram through $50 billion more for Ukraine before GOP takes control of the House. NBC News reports, multiple sources have confirmed ongoing discussions regarding a government funding bill during the lame duck session following the election. It does not indicate which Republican lawmakers are on board with the idea and which are opposed. But congressional lawmakers from both parties, NBC News tweeted, are looking to lock in billions of dollars in military assistance to Ukraine before newly elected members are sworn in January, according to a lawmaker and congressional staffers. Biden's released 10 to 15 million more barrels of oil from the Strategic Reserve. The United States planned to release an additional 10 to 15 million barrels of oil from the country's emergency stockpile in a bid to balance markets and keep gasoline prices from climbing. The White House also plans to replenish U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, but how in the world would they do that? He shut down the XL pipeline. He denied permits to drill on federal land. Where in the hell is that oil going to come from? The Biden admin has also been speaking with energy companies as it considers its strategy to use a strategic petroleum reserve to push down oil prices prior to the midterm and support longer-term demand for producers. Meanwhile, Biden's bathroom order has been declared unlawful. I mean, what policy did this guy have that anybody likes, or even the judiciary? The Biden admin was dealt another legal blow at Kate Lace in court late last week when a federal judge ruled that an order dealing with who could use what bathrooms in the country was unconstitutional. In 2021, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission issued a new rule sought to offer protection to individuals from the LGBTQ community for workplace discrimination. It permitted individuals to now use pronouns based on the gender they identify with, regardless of their physical attributes or whether they were born male or female, allowed them to use bathrooms in the same manner. Immediately following the issuing of that guidance, many states filed federal lawsuits challenging it as unconstitutional, infringing on the rights of private companies. Meanwhile, PayPal did not back down, still threatening $2,500 fines for promoting hate and intolerance. Eugene Volkov pointed out Sunday, PayPal's acceptable use policy, which was last updated on September 20th, 2021, warns the unfortunate PayPal user that you must adhere to the terms of this acceptable use policy or else. Violation constitutes a violation of the PayPal user agreement, may subject you to damages, including liquidated damages of $2,500 per violation, which may be debited directly from your PayPal accounts as outlined in the user's agreement. Check on that restricted activities and hold section. You'll find a long list of you must nots, including the expected prohibitions on fraud, selling counterfeit goods and the like, but included now of the things you must not do, provide false, inaccurate, or misleading information. False? Inaccurate or misleading in the eyes of whom? Why? Of PayPal's leftist hall monitors, of course, and no one else, including the person PayPal accuses. If we believe that you've engaged in any of these activities, we may take a number of actions to protect PayPal, its customers, and others at any time at our sole discretion. No one else's. You'll have no appeal, no recourse, no opportunity to present your side of the story. Another. CDC votes to recommend COVID-19 shots for children and adolescents, annual immunization schedule in 15 unanimous votes. They recommend a policy, the use of COVID for everyone ages 6 months and older, in spite of the fact that for kids, like from, you know, zero to 15, there's like a 99% survival rate. Why in God's name would this do it? The answer is very simple. If Pfizer and Moderna can get on this vaccine list for children, then they have absolutely no liability whatsoever for any shots they administer anywhere in the United States. None. Even if those shots kill every single child who's given the shot, every single child might be dead. They would have no liability. Meanwhile, Joe Mercola asks, why isn't your doctor warning you about this? Doctors are afraid to speak out about COVID and the dangers of the shots because they can lose their ability to practice medicine if they challenge a mainstream narrative. Get this. Doctors are afraid to speak out about COVID-19 treatment and the dangers of the shots because they can lose their ability to practice medicine if they challenge mainstream narratives. Remdesivir is the only standard of care drug approved for treatment of COVID, even though it was found to be ineffective against the infection and had life-threatening side effects, including kidney failure and liver damage. Kidney failure and liver damage from the only approved drug for treatment of COVID-19. Hospitals have an enormous financial incentive to use this toxic treatment, which frequently kills a patient, because the U.S. government pays a 20% upcharge in its lead, 20% more to the bill when remdesivir is used. They're also paid for the use of ventilators and for COVID deaths. Every COVID-19 patient has what amounts to a $400,000 to $500,000 bounty on their head. California announces ban on gas-powered vehicles, then announces energy emergency requesting residents not to charge electric vehicles. How absurd is this? A week ago, California state regulators voted to ban the sale of gasoline-powered cars by 2035. The goal is to make every vehicle in California an electric. However, just a week later, the California Independent System Operator issued a flex alert for the Labor Day weekend asking people not to charge their electric vehicles because the power grid cannot handle the demand. So if you are planning to travel over Labor Day in your electric vehicle, sorry, they don't have the juice to fire it up. So here's Michael Stellenberg, who's been all over this. August 24th, California banned sale of new gasoline-powered cars. August 30th, California asked Californians to avoid charging electric vehicles due to electricity shortage. So where does that leave you with your electric vehicle? Meanwhile, shock poll. Nearly 8 of 10 Americans believe the country is out of control. Independents break hard to the GOP. With just over a week until Election Day, the mood of the country portends doom for the party in power, the Democrats. A new CBS News Battleground Tracker poll shows 79% of Americans believe the country is out of control. Only 21% saying things are under control. The poll also shows a sharp break by independents to Republicans took place over the past 2 weeks. So there you have it, 79 to 21. That's the way it should have broken in this election, in this midterm. It should have gone that way. Or maybe you like having a female trans doll with a penis. I'm looking at a female trans doll with a penis. I mean, what are the issues that are going to benefit the Democrat? Why would anyone vote for a Democrat? Indeed, go all the way back to when they introduced the dark Biden with his speech before blood-red curtains and two Marines standing beside him. Mainstream media called out President Biden Thursday after the tone of his speech contradicted what officials had promised. The White House, however, did not appreciate the accountability. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked directly whether Biden's speech would be political and denied that it would be. No, it's not a political speech, Jean-Pierre said. This is an opportunity again for the president to directly have a conversation with the American people. Reporters, however, appeared not to buy what he was selling because they repeatedly asked Jean-Pierre how the speech would not be political if Biden would confront mega Republicans and the threat he believes they pose to American democracy. He called mega Republicans violent, extreme, dangerous, while ignoring leftist violence. Yeah, the whole Summer of Love, inspired by the fraudulent George Floyd death, which I guarantee was a manufactured event. The Democrats didn't raise their least digit in opposition. They were encouraging more riots, more looting, more arson. No one was arrested. Stunning. Reuters poll. Joe Biden's net approval dropped 7 points in 1 week. President Joe Biden's net approval rating dropped a full 7 points in 1 week, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll released Tuesday. The polling comes after the Biden admin claimed the official White House speech, which represents the official position of the Biden admin, was not a political speech heading into the midterm election. Democracy is not a partisan or political issue, the Deputy Press Secretary Chris Mager tweeted after the speech received poor reviews from establishment media. Chris Mager. Democracy is not a partisan or political issue. The following day, Biden tried to walk back his dark speech, portraying Republicans as extremists who threaten the United States. I don't consider any Trump supporter to be a threat to the country, Biden replied. To retake the Senate, Republicans must retain seats in Wisconsin, Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and add one additional. Other Senate races in Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia have a great deal of uncertainty. But it looked like it was going to happen. A poll found Biden's recessive economy is the number one issue for both Republicans and Democrats. Throughout Biden's presidency, the nation's economy has been rocked by 40-year high inflation, record high gas prices. His plan to resolve the crisis has been to spend massive amounts of money to prevent global warming. Among Democrats, about 1 in 8 saw the environment as a top issue. About 1 in 10 pointed to the end of national abortion rights. For Republicans, the next most pressing problem were immigration and crime, each a whip top concerns for about 1 in 10 Republicans. Crime and illegal immigration have soared under Biden. 1 year after he gave Vice President Harris the responsibility of preventing illegal immigration, over 221,300 illegal migrants have been encountered illegally crossing the Mexican border. That number represents a new high. And we know, by the way, the estimate has it may be up to 5 million already here. And this is part of a massive agenda to bring in 100 million migrants to take away all our borders, to create the North American Union without ever being subjected to any voter approval or even discussion with the American people. Crime is also a major worry for Americans. According to Fox, crime in 7 of this nation's largest cities, all controlled by Democrats, has spiked anywhere from nearly 5% to 40% compared to 2021. The cities included were Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York City, Philadelphia, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, in hilarious card badges, libs in absolute fury, the FJB edition, FJB edition. Meanwhile, using the Department of Justice and law enforcement to demonize their opponents, they've gone after Donald Trump, even with a raid at Mar-a-Lago. Get this. Trump declassified documents that proved crimes by the FBI. Biden reclassified them, but never told Trump. Breaking. Was Mar-a-Lago raid over FBI Spygate documents? Nuclear mega. Trump confirms documents were declassified. Asked when the Obama library is going to be raided. Mind you, not anytime soon. Meanwhile, if true, another tweet, the world according to Barron, whoever changed it back to classified might need the greatest lawyer in history because people or person who knew the documents Trump took and that they were declassified when he took them. Can information be reclassified? Yes. Information that has not previously been disclosed to the public under proper authority may be classified or reclassified after an agency received a request under the FOIA Presidential Act. Well, look what a clever stunt that is. Nevertheless, poll numbers have soared for Trump because of the FBI raid. I mean, stunning stuff. What is there here that would give anyone any expectation or belief that the Democrats are going to fare well in these midterm elections? Historically, the party in power invariably takes a heavy hit. It did not happen. Gee, I wonder why. Do you think everyone just decided all those issues we just reviewed really are super good? You mean really? You got the party that says men can get pregnant? That green energy works. They got parties flying on the Lolita Express. We got the FBI declaring it's not a swamp rap. We have inflation being powered by spending. We have the stolen election of 2020 silencing the doubters, wanting to put Trump in jail. Nancy Pelosi, sane and sober leadership, give me a break. The vax, safe and effective. Hunter's laptop, Russian disinfo. Start over here. A brilliant piece by Ben Garrison depicting what the hell is going on. Even this, right before, 63% of those polls said the country is on the wrong track. When it comes to people, what people think the Democratic parties care about, the party in power is seen as disconnected from the top issues, with those polls saying they're most interested in January 6th, women's rights, climate change, and guns. I mean, the poll results are staggering, increasing for the Republicans, dropping for the Democrats. Why would anyone in the world think the Democrats would do well? And they have done astonishingly well. This is embarrassing, shocking, and revealing. Think about it. Our own government is being stolen right from under our eyes. There is no doubt about it. This is grand theft. And the Democrats are shameless about it. They're open about it. They don't give a damn. They're going to stay in power and F you to the American people. F you to the Constitution. F you to democracy. Yes, democracy was on the ballot, and it lost. Stunning. Disgusting. Unbelievable.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So how did the Democratic Party stem off the massive defeat for which they were headed? I mean, we had many experts. Newt Gingrich is a really good example, predicting picking up 4 to 5 seats for the Republicans in the Senate, 45 or 50. I was going even higher in my number in the House. Now, we seem to have eked out a narrow victory in the House, but the control of the Senate is still in doubt, and you had 2 cases that, in my opinion, are classic definitive illustrations that the Democrats won the old-fashioned way. They stole the election. One is in Pennsylvania. This guy, Fetterman, give me a break. He's an oaf to begin with. He appears to have to be a stupid guy, and then he's suffering in addition to having had a stroke. He was inarticulate, mumbling. The support for him just dropped like a rock after the debate with Oz. Now, it's true, a lot of early voting had occurred, but in fact, there are those who argue that this is why, a perfect illustration why early voting should be illegal. John Fetterman, the guy can hardly make out a coherent sentence, and he's supposed to be one of the 100 members of the greatest deliberative body in the world, the United States Senate. Right. Can you imagine any responsible citizen of Pennsylvania actually after that debate still voting for John Fetterman? Now, Oz may not be perfect, but he's coherent, he's intelligent, he's responsible. He would be capable of discharging the responsibilities of the office. John Fetterman, clearly not. The other example from the opposite side of the continent, Arizona, the race for governor. Carrie Lake, talk about the complete package. She's intelligent, articulate, dynamic. She's on top of all the issues. She has a background in the media, and she knows how to put across her message versus Katie Hobbs. Katie Hobbs is a nitwit. Katie Hobbs is so bad that when CNN interviewed Katie Hobbs, they were so embarrassed by the interview, they didn't even publish it for the public. Katie Hobbs showed up like, what, 20 days out of the year to serve as Secretary of State? In which capacity? She was supervising her own race for governor? Give me a break. How insulting is this? So what do we have here in the aftermath? Election takeaways. No sweep for the Republicans. And I'm looking at a crowd here. A couple hundred people holding Fetterman signs. And I say, where in God's name did that come from? These cannot be sincere citizens. These have to be paid actors. These are people paid to turn out and hold Fetterman signs. And where does that come from? Barack Obama, as so many of the maladies that affect our political life today, was a source when he nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948. By the Smith Modernization Act of 2012. What did the Smith Act say? That the American government could not use the same techniques of disinformation, propaganda, staged events, phony events, coups, assassinations within the United States that it was using abroad. Could not. Obama reversed it. He made it permissible to have staged events, and indeed, it was passed just in time to bring a Sandy Hook, which has then been followed by one after another, phony fake stage events. I published books on most of them, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, and I've done more recent research with Brian Davidson, Simply Sensational, on Buffalo, on Uvalde. This is fake. This is totally fake. This suggests the CIA was playing a role in running the election here in the United States. Of course, you'll hear by law it's not supposed to be permissible for the CIA to intervene. But look what Barack Obama has done. And virtually everyone who's paying the least amount of attention has concluded that Barack Obama was fulfilling the role he described when he was asked if he'd like to serve a third term as president. And he said, well, no, not really. But if someone else were out in front and he were behind the scene, you know, about pulling the strings, manipulating the outcome, yeah, he'd go for that. But that's what he's got with Biden. This guy, they had to steal the election in 2020. I am so insulted that they have stolen it again. But the evidence is absolutely overwhelming. Joe Biden, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, Michelle to a lesser degree. She's, in my opinion, really not a political figure. And if they want to run her in 2024, well, the country may be astonished to discover that Michelle is not precisely who she claims to be. I mean, stunning stuff. I've said for some time, if you just imagine George Soros as the acting president of the United States, then you get a pretty good handle on what's going on here. This is all fraudulent. This is all destructive. There's not a single policy I've named, and I've described, what, 12 to 20 different policies where the country agrees with the Biden administration? There's no possible way they could have come through this as relatively unscathed. They have shown fewer losses than a normal midterm historically when you have the worst administration in American history. How is that possible? Answer? Only by theft and deception. There is no alternative explanation. Here we have a report from the AP. For weeks, Republicans predicted a red wave that would carry them to power in Congress as voters repudiated majority Democrats for failing to tame skyrocketing inflation and address worries about rising crime. The reality appeared far different early Wednesday. Well, how do we account for the difference between the reality? I've been going through all the data, all the statistics. Even Joe Biden's own pollster said he was anticipating a realignment election because so many Latinos and blacks were going to the Republican Party. We did not see it. It did not happen. Why not? Because they manufactured the vote. They manipulated the outcome. Disgusting. Rather than the wholesale rejection of Biden and his party, the results were far more mixed. Yes, for the reasons we're addressing. Many Democrat incumbents have proved surprisingly resilient. Well, when you're controlling the outcome of the vote, yeah, you can be resilient if everyone holds you in contempt, outperforming their party's own expectations. Well, a few key players knew what the hell was going on. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, George Soros, they all knew how this was going to come out because they had it locked. They had a lock on this election using the Dominion voting machines and other techniques they've employed in the past. Meanwhile, John Fetterman won an open Senate seat currently held by the GOP. How astonishing is that? You've heard the claim, you know, that a district attorney could use a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. Well, the Democrat Party can use their voting machines to elect a complete incompetent to the United States Senate. In fact, another vote in Pennsylvania, they actually elected a guy who is dead. They elected a dead man to office. I mean, how bad is that? Other key races that will determine control of the chamber remain too early to call. Shouldn't be. There shouldn't be any of this dragging it out. Tucker did a wonderful show, by the way, just last night. He was talking about how it can be that it's going to take weeks, some say even months, for some of these races to be counted. That's ridiculous. They should be counted overnight. There's no excuse. And what's going on? Tucker looked into it. He found in virtually all the cases where that's dragged out, the Democrats who were initially behind wind up winning. Why? Well, because they're taking all that time to pad with new ballots that are all made out for Biden in this case, or for the other Democrats they want to support. That's what they're doing. That's why they're dragging it out. This is stealing the election before our very eyes. Have no doubt about it. When you wake up tomorrow, we will be the majority and Nancy Pelosi will be in the minority, said House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, which turned out to be true. He may be right, but it appeared that likely Republican games would come on far less favorable terms than anticipated. In other words, they were anticipated for good reason, for good reason. And if it didn't come out the way it ought to have, that's for demands an explanation, and there's only one explanation that works. The election was stolen. Remember, way back, they did away with exit polling. Exit polling would have revealed this was a monster scam. We're going to look at some exit polls that actually were conducted that enable us to prove this election was stolen, 100% stolen. After that debate, by the way, between Fetterman and Oz, who won the Pennsylvania debate? Oz, 82%. Fetterman, 18. I mean, it was an atrocity. Fetterman, here's a piece from a Political Insider. Fetterman's debate performance proves early voting should be banned completely. Pennsylvania Democrat Senate candidate John Fetterman's painful debate performance is a prime example of the perils of early voting, allowing people to cast ballots before they've even had a chance to watch a candidate argue in favor of his policies and platforms. Fetterman's performance was a debacle by any measuring stick, including by some very prominent left-wing pundits. What is even more devastating is that several hundred thousand voters were robbed of the opportunity to see that the Democrat candidate is clearly incapable of performing the duties required of holding a Senate seat prior to casting their votes. Fetterman's opponent, Republican candidate Mehmet Oz, challenged him to a series of five debates before the late October one-off was agreed to. It immediately became clear why the Fetterman campaign wanted to hide their candidate as long as possible. Greg Price tweets, Fetterman opens the debate where he says, Mr. Fetterman, what are your credentials for Senate? Why should you become a member of the United States Senate? And he replies, hi, good night, everybody. And that was like the high point. Early voting in Pennsylvania, Fetterman voters must be having buyer's remorse. The one good remark he made during the whole campaign, talk of defunding police was absurd. Even Fetterman acknowledged that. Meanwhile, Tuesday night disastrous and heartbreaking Pennsylvania U.S. Senate debate has exposed the corporate media's Fetterman is fine talking point as a hoax. Some 5 months after what was obviously a devastating stroke that this poor man may never fully recover from, we all saw what happened at last night's debate. We all saw the truth, that even with Fetterman using the crutch of closed captioning, he's in very tough shape. His scrambled brain cannot compute what he hears. He has to read it, and even then, as we saw, he still struggles in the way that can only elicit pity for us bystanders and shame for all those, especially his wife, who allowed last night to happen. And yet, through it all, for all these months, the godforsaken liars in the corporate media lied and lied and lied to us with a Fetterman is fine hoax. With last night's heartbreaking debate still fresh in your mind, look at this. When Mehmet Oz, the Republican nominee for Senate in Pennsylvania, was trailing his opponent in polls and fundraising a few weeks ago, he resorted to a desperate tactic to get the upper hand in an ever-tightening race, leveraging ableism against a person with disabilities. Get this. Disability advocates are accusing NBC News of ableism following an interview with Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, the Democrat candidate for the U.S. Senate, which they say was overly concerned with a live transcription he required during the sit-down due to his auditory processing issues. Or another, John Fetterman's accommodation request revealed the bias we still have against disabled people. In his willingness to be public about his recovery, Fetterman proves he can do the job. He forces us to examine our own beliefs and biases about people with disabilities. Or again, in his first media interview since having a stroke 2 months ago, Democrat Senate nominee John Fetterman of Pennsylvania said Wednesday he is 100% able to run fully and to win against Republican Mehmet Oz in November. Fetterman said he walked several miles every day and did not lose any memory as a result of the stroke. In the 20-minute interview with the newspaper, Fetterman used closed captioning to ensure that he did not miss any words, a campaign spokesman told the Post-Gazette. Or again, and honestly, I've lost all respect for Sanjay Gupta, such little remaining as I may have had. CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta claimed Wednesday Democrat Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman of Pennsylvania was fairly fluent while speaking. Quoting him, when we talk about speech, we typically talk about your ability to express yourself through spoken and written word, but also to receive speech, reception of speech through spoken and written word, Gupta told CNN newsroom guest host Bianca Goldriga. Listening to him, he sounded like he was fairly fluent in his speech, able to speak pretty clearly. Every now and then he would have a little word short of mashup, as he calls it. Mashup indeed. The only journalist a word I rarely use without scare quotes, who went out to not only get the truth, but to report, was NBC's Dasha Burns. She spent time with, spoke with, interviewed Fetterman earlier this month, then had the moral courage to inform the public about her experience. And what did she get in return from her media colleagues, from the so-called journalists? Hate. Naked, irrational, utterly dishonest hate. And it took 2 days, 2 days, for her own network to defend her. So we can now add, the Fetterman is fine hoax to the long list of corporate media hoaxes. The Russia collusion hoax, hands up, don't shoot hoax, Jussie Smollett hoax, Covington KKK kids hoax, very fine people hoax, 7-hour gab hoax, global warming hoax, Russia bounties hoax, Trump trashes troops hoax, policemen killed at mostly peaceful January 6th protest hoax, Rittenhouse hoax, eating while black hoax, border agent whipping illegals hoax, NASCAR news hoax, on and on and on. And guess what? Voting machines stopped working across America. It's 10 a.m. Eastern, and America's 2022 midterm elections are already being stolen from the second smartest guy in the world. My thesis is that the Uniparty will allow the Republicans to win the midterms. The stock market that was pumped yesterday and today will crash right after the GOP take back control of the Senate and House. Republicans will be blamed for this market collapse. The next pandemic this winter will be announced as a cover-up for VAIDS. The party of Mr. Operation Warp Speed will be blamed for this PSYOP 22. Get this, more stunning, because the market hasn't actually crashed. Maricopa County exit polling, only 14% of Election Day voters are Democrats. Listen to that. Maricopa County exit polling. Only 14% of Election Day voters are Democrats. I believe they had excellent reasons for not turning out. How could they have any enthusiasm for what was about to take place? They could see the writing on the wall. But, of course, so could the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's and the Barack Obama's and the George Soros see the writing on the wall. They knew what to do about it. Break out the voting machines, do it again, steal it just as we did in 2022. Paul Craig Roberts, another stolen election on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Anatomy of a close election. How Americans voted in 2022 versus 2018. Early exit polls show women and voters of color shifted toward the GOP. Well, if that's true, if women in color, voters of color shifted toward the GOP, how could the Democrats possibly come so close, stay so resilient? It's impossible. This is actual exit data, just as we have Maricopa. Exit polling, only 14% of Election Day voters are Democrat. 14%. Get this. Paul Craig Roberts, whom I regard as our nation's leading public intellectual. This time, it is CNN's own report on its own exit polls that indicate a stolen election. Today, November 9, 2022, updated at 10:49 a.m. Eastern Time, CNN reporters Zachary B. Wolf and Kurt Merrill remarked that the widely expected red wave did not materialize, then went on to present data that's inconsistent with the closeness of the winning. In other words, they're reporting on the one hand that it was far closer than anticipated and go on to give all the data that shows this has to be a sham, a mirage, an illusion. It has to be the result of stealing the election. The reporters compare the exit polls from 2018 election with those of the 2022. The comparisons show, get this, the Democrats lost support in Tuesday's elections among women. They lost support among moderates. They lost support among youth. They lost support among people of color. They lost support among urban voters. They lost support among college graduates. They lost support among independents. How could they possibly have remained so close in such a tight election, if they lost support across all of those key demographic groups. And I've given you some of the reasons how we know they were losing that support. It had already been manifest in poll after poll after poll. Just stunning. So the Democrats followed the advice of Joseph Stalin, who observed, it doesn't matter who casts the votes. What matters is who counts them. The Democrats have stolen the election again, and they're doing it in true Stalinist style. They're showing we have a tyrannical government. They are showing the Democrats don't give a shit about the U.S. Constitution, don't give a shit about democracy, don't give a shit about the American people. All they give a shit about is remaining in power so they can do more damage to America. And that is what this is about. Just to begin with, the Democrat support among women declined from 19 points favorable to Democrats to only 8. Republican support among men rose from 4 points over Democrats to 14. So both shifts were in the wrong direction. By age, the preference for Democrats over Republicans for 18 to 29-year-olds declined from 35 points to 28, and from 30 to 44-year-olds from 19 points to 4. Republican support over Democrats rose from 1 to 10 points for those 45 to 65 years of age, and from 2 to 12 for those 65 and older. White men's preference for Republicans increased from 21 to 28 points. White women moved from a 50-50 split to an 8-point preference for Republicans. Black women's preference for Democrats declined from 85 to 78. Black men's preference for Democrats declined from 76 to 65. Latino women's preference for Democrats fell from 47 points to 33. And Latino men's preference for Democrats fell from 29 points to 8. I'll tell you right now, there's no possible way under these circumstances that Democrats could legitimately have come out of this election the way we have been told. There is no possible way. It is an absurdity, historically, politically, mathematically, literally grotesque.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. Give SendGo.com funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, remember, these are reports coming from bona fide exit polls on election day from CNN reporters. CNN is not a conservative-friendly outlet. Usually, it's kind of a hack supporting the left, and the more extreme, the stronger. But in this case, the reporters appear to be providing us with accurate information that contradicts, actually refutes, objectively, empirically refutes the story we're being given about the resurgence, you know, the Democrat people suddenly discovering Joe Biden's a really terrific guy, that he's not some kind of half-demented, that he's not senile, that he doesn't shake hands with people who aren't there, that he doesn't need handlers for every move he makes, that he doesn't constantly make absurd stories, that he hasn't lied all his life, that he isn't a pedophile who even took naked showers with his own daughter, that was involved in crime activities with Hunter, his son, whom he described as the smartest guy he's ever known, crime activities in Ukraine, crime activities in China. This is the guy the Democrats put up to become president and then stole the election from Donald Trump to make it happen. And they are playing us, the entire nation, you and me, for suckers and saps. Their contempt for democracy is palpable. It is beyond belief. They just don't give a shit. Here's more of the data proving this was a stolen election. Urban voters' preference for Democrat declined from 33 points over Republicans to 17. Suburban and rural voters' preference for Republicans rose by 6 and 15 points, respectively. Democrats also lost support among white and black college graduates. Among white voters without college degrees, a preference for Republicans rose by 10 points. 10 points. Among moderates, the preference for Democrats eroded from 26 to 15. Among conservatives, the Republican advantage rose from 67 points to 83. Among liberals, there was essentially no change. The liberals are happy as they can be with mass migration, soaring inflation, transgender promotions, teaching third graders how to masturbate and have anal sex. The liberals are all in on that. The CNN exit poll shows substantial erosion of the Democrat voting base since the 2018 election. How can such substantial erosion be consistent with a lack of any significant Republican gain on Tuesday? The outcome of Tuesday's election is made even more difficult to comprehend by CNN reporters when they report. Back in 2018, 37% of voters said they were Democrats, compared with 33 who said they were Republicans and 30 who said they were independents. In 2022, however, it was Republicans who have the edge. When they won control of the House in 2018, Democrats had an advantage among independents. That is nearly gone in 2022. Both Democrats and Republicans improved their performance among the party faithful, but Republicans built a lead among voters who don't have as favorable a view of either party. Democrats lost their edge among voters who have a favorable view of both. There are many other indications that much is amiss in the vote count. Polls show that Biden suffers an approval rating of only 36%, and that a large majority do not want Biden to run for re-election in 2 years. How is that preference consistent with a vote count of Tuesday's election? Consider also, the party in power loses representation in midterm elections. But despite the substantial turnaway from Democrats revealed by CNN, consistent with every other report, every other poll I've been giving you today, and that's just about a dozen or more different sources of horrendous outcomes for the Democrats, this normal result did not occur on Tuesday. Consider also public dissatisfaction with record crime, record inflation with high food and gasoline prices, rising interest rates, falling home values, massive illegal immigration, forced indoctrination of school children with transgender theory and critical race theory, Biden's COVID vaccination mandates that cause health injuries, deaths, and destroyed careers, Biden's COVID lockdowns that destroyed businesses, jobs, supply chains, and raised prices, Biden's Russian sanctions that disrupted energy supply and raised the price of everything. Considering all of this dissatisfaction, how did Fetterman, a person impaired by a stroke and afflicted with problems speaking, who wants to release criminals from prison, win a seat in the U.S. Senate from Pennsylvania? How did the same Georgia voter who returned Republican Governor Kemp to office vote against black Republican and football star Herschel Walker in favor of black Democrat Warnock, who hates Trump and white people, for the U.S. Senate? Finally, consider the Diebold and Dominion voting machines that malfunctioned in New Jersey, Arizona, and Texas, and the Gateway Pundits report that in Detroit, Michigan, ballots were being delivered through the back door in the early hours of Wednesday morning, long after the legal deadline. Now, ask yourself, what is worse, a stolen U.S. election or an American electorate so insouciant and out to lunch that they would keep a political party in office that is leading us into war with Russia and China, that hates white people and persecutes them, that has politicized the FBI and Department of Justice, turning them into Gestapo agencies serving the Democrat power, that fervently believe that parents are bad for children and should have no say in their education, that is demonizing normality and normalizing perversity, that, and I could go on and on, right, Paul Craig Roberts. Here was a chance for voters to register their dissent, and according to the vote results, they failed to do so. If the vote count is honest, then the conclusion that follows is we must write off the American people as being too stupid to survive as a free people. View on parties. Republicans won over those who like neither party. Both Democrats and Republicans improved their performance among the party faithful. But Republicans built a lead among voters who don't have a favorable view of either party, while Democrats lost their edge among those who have a favorable view of both. That's why I much prefer that the election was again stolen. So, what can be done about a stolen election? Nothing, especially when a previously stolen election has left Democrats in control of the executive branch. The executive branch is a police branch. It's not going to enforce election or any law against itself. The Democrat-controlled cities are empires unto themselves. They can steal every election and nothing can be done about it. The media is an appendage to the Democrat Party. The media supports whatever the official narrative may be. This is tomorrow's Thursday, November 10th column. I am posting it November 9th, prior to the construction of the official narrative that we will soon receive, so at least my readers will have a chance to think before the official explanation is forced upon them. Paul Craig Roberts, my nominee for our nation's leading public intellectual, confirming what he was talking about in Michigan. We caught them again. The Gateway Pundit catches late-night operatives moving vanloads of suspicious ballots way after legal deadline in Detroit, Michigan. Michigan polls closed at 8 p.m. yesterday, Election Day 2022. The results strongly favoring Democrats shocked the pollsters and prognosticators, who all predicted some degree of a red wave that never materialized. The results directly conflict with the perception by many campaign professionals, pollsters, and those in the media who are predicting strong Republican gains. But of course, nothing was done in response to the 2020 voter fraud, well documented by outlets like the Gateway Pundit. In fact, Republicans in Michigan made it even easier to cheat by allowing clerks 2 extra days to process ballots, giving potential bad actor clerks more time to cheat. This is in addition to the widespread observation of the major problem with voting machines. Again, as Tucker observed, in every case where the voting is drawn out, that's because they want to change the result. They don't like the outcome because it's favoring the wrong party. So, like in Arizona, I have no doubt Carrie Lake just ran away with it. She is absolutely sensational. She's unbelievably good. So, she got the lead. Well, what are they going to do? Oh, they're going to say, well, we just have problems here in Maricopa County. It's going to take us days, maybe weeks, to finish the tabulation. Why? Because it's going to take them days or weeks to manufacture fake ballots to overcome Carrie Lake's lead. That's what's going on. Don't play along with this. Don't be a sucker and a sap. Don't be stupid. This election has been stolen before your very eyes, your very eyes. The Gateway Pundit has exclusive video and photographic evidence that the city of Detroit was collecting thousands of ballots significantly after the legal deadline in 2022. This video is from the Detroit Department of Elections at 2978 West Grant. Ballots are processed there, entering and exiting through a garage in the alley behind the building. We can exclusively report that the city of Detroit was handling and beginning to process a significant number of ballots at 11:30 p.m. on election night. They got the photos, they got the videos. We can exclusively report that the city of Detroit was handling and beginning to process more ballots at 1:22 a.m. on election night. Where did these ballots come from? Why are they arriving at the Detroit Bureau of Elections so suspiciously late on election night? What could possibly account for so many ballots arriving so late? They stole the vote in 2020 from you. And it appears they may have stolen the vote from you again in 2020. Have no doubt about it. After the 2020 election, Americans were repeatedly told there was nothing wrong with the security and integrity of our elections. Every single case that was filed with the judicial system was thrown out without even hearing the presentation of evidence. No judge wanted to face the evidence collected by election integrity patriots who painstakingly documented eyewitness statements, video evidence, statistical evidence, and expert testimony showing the 2020 election was systematically stolen. They were told that widespread descriptions of alleged voter fraud were widespread misinformation and disinformation. Of course. They were told that 1,000 collected affidavits were irrelevant, that the observed crimes by election workers, including unlawfully expelling only Republican poll watchers, using COVID illegally to exclude election integrity officials, and illegally sending out mass absentee voter applications were unproven theories, even though they were well documented. They were also told that a 3:30 a.m. van that arrived way past the 8 p.m. legal deadline to collect ballots in 2020 was entirely normal. Many were even smeared and called racist for just observing this voter fraud because so many major Democrat strongholds in Michigan happen to be places with large black population. For months, the mainstream media lied about this van full of likely illegal ballots in 2020. They initially said it didn't exist. Then they said it was food for workers. Then they said it was camera equipment. Then they said even if it was ballots, it was just a few ballots and they didn't mean anything. Then the Gateway Pundit produced a footage that showed tens of thousands of late arriving ballots being processed, just as witnesses described in 2020. And the media never corrected their reporting, never apologized to the readers they lied to, or the way they defamed your Gateway Pundit, and nothing happened. Nothing. Nothing at all. Here we have. It happened again. Last night in the 2022 midterms, the infamous drop and roll occurred in the Michigan governor race, just as it happened in 2020 presidential election. Most of you lived through what I lived through when it looked like Trump was easily going to win the election, and then they stopped counting the ballots, what, around 3 a.m. in the morning and sent everyone home? And then the next time when it resumed, there'd been a huge increase in the votes for Biden. They hit a huge ballot dump. They've done it here. They did it twice for this Governor Whitmer of Michigan, who's one of the most reviled and despicable public office holders in the country. I won't say servant, because she's only serving herself. She's trashing the public. She's doing immense damage to Michigan. And she's being paid by the taxpayer to do it. Meanwhile, and how talk about irony of ironies. How many times have we been told that anyone who complains about the election in 2020 is a conspiracy theorist or an election denier or a domestic terrorist? How many times? Well, here you have the political insider reporting how Politico, which is a left-wing venue, Politico warns of hacking threats to voting machines. Politico ran a column the day before an expected midterm red wave, suddenly worried about several election security issues to keep watch over on Tuesday. The midterms, according to Politico, are facing a bevy of threats, ranging anywhere from stolen Twitter accounts to hacked election websites. Perhaps the most remarkable paragraph in the entire column states that while the 2020 election faced questions of election integrity that have been thoroughly debunked, these new alleged threats are now real. Quote, the 2020 presidential election was rife with allegations of voting machine hacks that were later debunked, Politico claims. Yet there are real risks that hackers could tunnel into voting equipment and other election infrastructure to try to undermine Tuesday's vote. Wow. Here we have a tweet, Politico. The 2020 election, presidential election, was rife with allegations of voting machine hacks that were later debunked. Yet, there are real risks that hackers could tunnel into voting equipment and other election infrastructure to try to undermine Tuesday's vote. Meanwhile, U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert pulls ahead after multiple suspicious ballot drops for her Democrat opponent. U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert is now ahead in a race for Congress. She leads her Democrat opponent by more than 300 votes, with 96% of the votes counted. There's no information on why the corrupt election actors in Colorado have not completed her election counting. Well, it's obvious they haven't completed the counting because they want to bring in more fake ballots. Boebert was first reported a casualty of election fraud on Tuesday night, then yesterday it became clear her race was not over. Update, it's not over yet. Ultra mega Lauren Boebert comes back and race against slimebag leftist who was caught having an affair inside a storage locker. How bad is that? The Gateway Pundit reported this morning there were mysterious data dumps in her race for her opponent that put a slime bag in the lead. These really need to be investigated. And here we have the same stunning jumps, big blue jumps repeatedly. Despite, you know, and once those big jumps take place, then the algorithms have it that the Democrat maintains the lead thereafter. Despite having a corrupt Secretary of State and election fraud thrown in her face, Representative Boebert is now in the lead. Strong America First candidates have had to overcome election fraud, the Democrats, and the rhinos in the GOP. Let us not underestimate. Meanwhile, it turns out Republicans have won 6 million more votes than Democrats in House races, but gained relatively few seats. How can that be? Republicans have won nearly 6 million more votes nationwide in races for the House of Representatives, but have flipped relatively few seats, suggesting talk of a red wave may have anticipated the overall mood of the country, but not the final result of the election. Right, that's what they want us to believe. If you factor in the theft of the election, the use of voting machines and ballot dumps that are illegal, then, of course, it all fits. Because these attitudes, all these polls, again and again, white suburban women going to the Democrats, white suburban women preferring Trump over Biden, Latinos going massively to the right, even Biden's own pollster saying this is going to be a realignment election because of the movement of Latinos and blacks to the Republicans, and then it doesn't happen, according to the Cook Political Report, as of Thursday morning, November 10th. Republicans have won 50,113,534 votes, or 52.3% of the vote, compared to 44,251,768, or 46.2% of the vote. I would estimate perhaps as much as 10 million of those votes, 10 million of those votes could be fake, phony, manufactured. Republicans lead by 6.1, which is better than their average in generic congressional ballot polls, in which a party led by 2.5 is the final real clear politics average before the election. But Republicans have only managed to flip 9 seats thus far, likely enough to control the House, but far short of a wave result many anticipated. The mismatch between overall votes cast for Republicans and the actual result reflects a polarized nature of congressional maps. It also reflects the fact that Republican losses against many Democrat incumbents were very narrow. However, it could also suggest, and this falls in the category of happy horseshit, Democrats ran a more effective campaign, concentrating resources where they were needed to defend their vulnerable position. Every one of their positions was vulnerable. Every single one. In comparison, during the Tea Party wave election of 2010, in which Republicans won 63 seats, and that should happen here again. Republicans won 44,593,666 votes out of 86,784,957 cast, or 51.3%. Democrats won 38,854,459, or 44.8%, meaning the Republican margin of victory was 6.5%. Similar to the margin thus far in 2022. However, the Republicans failed to win the Senate in that race, losing several key races. Several key races. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why. Several key races. Gee, I wonder why. Roger Stone has very thoughtful reflections on what's happened here. And he, mind you, is a very astute political analyst. I seriously feel like we're watching the first wholly manufactured election in our history, Roger observes. I know Roger. I regard him as a friend. He's a very shrewd political operator, and I think he's got it right. Here's how he begins. I seriously feel like we're watching the first wholly manufactured election in our history in which all of the key competitive races have had the result directly programmed by the cabal. The most crushing economic conditions, rampant crime, reckless foreign nuclear war flirtations, the most aggressive perverse assaults on family and parental rights in history, all topped off. Right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Too much here to cover today to take your calls. I will appreciate hearing from you in the aftermath, but I've got to lay this out. Roger Stone, I think, is nailing it. I believe the CIA is running this op and they ain't done yet. I seriously feel like we're watching the first wholly manufactured election in our history, in which all of the key competitive races have had the result directly programmed by the cabal. The most crushing economic conditions, rampant crime, reckless foreign nuclear war flirtations, and the most aggressive perverse assaults on family and parental rights in history, all topped off by an embarrassing, unpopular disaster in the White House, leading a shrill, tin-eared, bellicose fascist junta that appears indifferent to the ordeal they are inflicting on working people, and yet the Democrat monolith is barely dented. Either the country has large states filled with brainwashed zealots who are too stupid and mindless to comprehend the reality of the collective damage they are ratifying with their votes, for at best lackluster or at worst appallingly deficient, if not retarded, candidates. Or we are seeing direct black box voting manipulation on a level of final tabulations being perpetrated on a scale that renders typical ballot and voter fraud schemes unnecessary anachronisms as the decisive votes that have now kept the ruling junta largely intact, or at most just a hair from having an operating majority, are literal fabrications piled onto Democrat vote totals by a few keystrokes entered in some master election hacking operation run by icy criminals in league with and part of the Democrat crime syndicate. The experts Mike Lindell brought together have been quite explicit and factually well-supported in laying out how the fraud goes far deeper and is far more comprehensive than any sort of ham-handed ballot harvesting, ballot box stuffing, or illegal voting schemes on the ground. I mean, Festerman supposed it win. That's the way he spells it. Festerman supposed it win is beyond any rational explanation and defies every known political and electoral principle and truism we've seen hold through throughout our entire history. Direct, surreptitious, totally undetectable, untraceable digital operation, alteration of final tabulation numbers, obviating any need for any physical intervention or tampering of any kind, are the only viable option to repel and nullify the sheer popular electoral force of such a galvanizing wave election as this one had been building up to by nearly all empirical indications. He's got it right. I've been reviewing it here. Well, think about it. Why should the United States be any different for the CIA than Brazil? Team Biden bragged about rigging Brazilian election against Bolsonaro before Election Day. Here, we find ourselves again 2 years after the 2020 stolen election in a different country, but with many of the same players, and I'm telling you, they are here. They are here. Barack Obama, bastard, allowed the vitiation of the Smith-Mundt Act to allow all kinds of disinformation and propaganda into the United States that heretofore had only been allowed abroad. Now, frankly, it's contemptible the United States was manipulating the elections of other countries. But he, in essence, has made that legitimate right here. They are doing it. This is a stolen election. Brazilian voters had their vote stolen from them by the millions on Sunday. President Bolsonaro had polled even or even surged ahead of socialist rival Lula after barnstorming from Sao Paulo to Salvador. But following a series of technical anomalies, not to mention statistical impossibilities. Sound familiar? Technical anomalies? Statistical impossibilities? Lula was declared the winner, and Brazilian voters in their millions were disenfranchised by the global elite. It's happening right here in the USA today, even as I speak. For the record, world leaders, including French President Emmanuel Macron, Justin Trudeau, and Jacinda Ardern, all WEF-aligned young global leaders, were quick to congratulate Lula before the counting had even stopped. And if you thought the WEF team was premature in their congratulations, Team Biden actually bragged about rigging the Brazilian election against President Bolsonaro before Election Day. The occult doctrine followed by these leaders is called plain sight. They just can't help running our noses in it. The liberal world order is hard at work destroying norms, inverting our principles, and establishing a worldwide jurisdictional bureaucracy for law, medicine, and elections. This is a criminal conspiracy to turn citizens into serfs, presidents into governors, and nation states into meaningless jurisdictional lines. How Team Biden tried to coup-proof Brazil's election reads a headline. Biden personnel from the White House, Defense Department, State Department, and CIA all took part in threatening the Bolsonaro administration in rare escalatory diplomatic meetings. Then they took their false narratives to the corporate media. They did this to Trump, too, using the perception that he was in control of his administration, when really the bureaucrats were rogue, when FBI Director Chris Wray and Christopher Krebs, former director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, used federal government resources to head off any lawful election challenges. To make matters worse, Biden's top brass, including CIA Director William Burns, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, all took turns threatening Bolsonaro for months during the election. They wanted to boost socialist Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva by casting a shadow of election integrity concerns and threatening Brazil's diplomatic status in the world. In both Trump's case and that of Bolsonaro, both men and their supporters have irrationally been accused of plotting coups as heads of state, which is a serious departure from the word's definition and universal use. In the same piece, international order stooges can't help but draw the parallels themselves. Quote, there's a parallel here with what we saw after the U.S. election in 2020 and then January 6th. I think it's made everyone's antennae much more sensitive to these things, said Matt Deuce, a former top foreign policy advisor to Senator Bernie Sanders and an incoming fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. One of the reasons we know the 2020 election was illegitimate is that Joe Biden's results had no down-ballot success, a statistical improbability because of what we know about political science, behavioral psychology, and down-ballot participation rates. In fact, not one House Republican incumbent lost. House Republicans actually gained 14 seats in 2020. What just happened in Brazil is mathematically impossible, says international Politico Matthew Tremont. That was the same conclusion I came to November 4th, 2020 here in America. I've been involved in over 111 federal elections. There's never been one like the American election in 2020 or the Brazilian election in 2022. Voters don't vote in those patterns, and data has never been tabulated in these patterns. Mass uniformity in ballot returns is statistically improbable, really, statistically impossible. Yet, it only occurs in elections where nationalist leaders like both President Donald J. Trump and President Bolsonaro were supposedly deposed. Give me a break. Unlike in America, Brazil enshrines in its constitution a military role in elections. If there is suspicion around an election, the military has oversight responsibilities it can invoke. This election in Brazil must be audited. Those in the international order are undermining democracy in the name of saving, protecting, or fortifying them. They are the totalitarian monsters they pretend to be concerned with. Meanwhile, Mike King, anti-New York Times, November 9th, New York Times. Republicans gain ground and push to take House as Democrats hold off red wave. Republicans picked up momentum in their drive for the House majority, but Democrats held crucial seats, dashing projections of a bloodbath. Here, from the anti-New York Times, a rebuttal. The happy news, mega Republicans, not neocons or rhinos, will soon control the U.S. House of Representatives, the most powerful branch on paper, at least, of the federal government. This will give Trump soldiers control of committees and formidable power of investigation into things like voter fraud. The Senate may also break Republican, pending a Democrat runoff in Georgia. The disappointing news, the highly anticipated red wave, mass destruction of the Democrat demon rat party did not materialize, as evident and rampant voter fraud again took place from coast to coast. So what does this red splash all mean? Looking at the matter logically, either the Patriots are in control or they are not in control, or perhaps some point in between. If the White Hats have the upper hand, then we may infer that the great election theft of 2022, just like that of 2020, was allowed to happen for a higher purpose. Or perhaps the deep state retains many pillars of strength. Members of the whiny, are we there yet, backseat chorus, who began barraging me late last night, may not wish to hear that. But we shall still have to wait until the end of the movie to know precisely how the movie ends. Headlines, Democrats exceed expectations, but Republicans still poised to win the House. Biden readies for a horrible 2 years if GOP takes control of Congress. The governor races in Pennsylvania, New York, and Arizona didn't turn out so well for the Republicans, who had seemed well-positioned to sweep all three of those big state races. On an optimistic note, Q's posts of November 7th and 8th, coordinated with Trump-owned truths on Election Day, gave clear last-minute warning of the coming voter fraud. This indicates that the fraud was again induced and allowed to happen for a higher purpose, perhaps, if we're reading Q correctly, some sort of military intervention. The fact remains that many prominent deep staters have already been removed from the world stage and disappeared as the NWO crime syndicate grows weaker by the day. So it's everybody just settle down, stop whining, and see what plays out. An unexpected twist in the road does not a dead end make. Meanwhile, Kerry Lake's response to Arizona's election result couldn't be more Trumpian. Calling out the fake news. I have a new report right here. Listen to this. The number of GOP seats in the House is dwindling. Will the Democrats steal the House too? The U.S. House race is not over. The world is watching in amazement as corrupt election directors and politicians across the country can't seem to finalize the results of an election 3 days ago. Florida and Texas can complete their election results the night of the election, but other states are days away, if not weeks. The 2022 election was supposed to be a rout for the GOP. He meant not rout, but rout, as in, you know, routing, taking complete control. Biden and his gang of American-destroying communists are not liked. They are even hated for their actions in Afghanistan with inflation economic policies and the January 6th commission on Monday, the night before the election. Real clear politics, which leans left because of its use of left-leaning polls, had the GOP winning 227 seats with a good chance at the remainder. So, what's happening now? This morning, CNN shows the current House race as follows. 211 seats now for the GOP. What happened to the 227? Stunning stop. Where is the GOP leadership as Democrats slowly steal the U.S. House? Why are we not hearing GOP leadership from Arizona staying up for the candidates who are still in the race? Stunning stop. Let me share with you some thoughts from a source of the past. 1776, in Congress, July 4th, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of France is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. Let me repeat, Roger had it right. We are watching the first wholly manufactured election in our history, in which all the key competitive races have had the result directly programmed by the cabal. The most crushing economic conditions, rampant crime, reckless foreign nuclear war flirtations, the most aggressive perverse assaults on family and parental rights in history, all topped off by an embarrassing, unpopular disaster in the White House, leading a shrill, tin-eared, bellicose fascist junta that appears indifferent to the ordeal they are inflicting on working people, and yet the Democrat monolith is barely dented. Either the country has large states filled with brainwashed zealots who are too stupid and mindless to comprehend the reality of the collective damage they are ratifying with their votes, for at best lackluster, at worst appallingly deficient, if not retarded, candidates, or we are seeing direct black box voting manipulation at the level of final tabulations being perpetrated on a scale that renders typical ballot and voter fraud schemes unnecessary anachronisms, as the decisive votes that have now kept the ruling junta largely intact, or at most just a hair from having an operating majority, are literal fabrications piled onto Democrat vote totals by a few keystrokes entered in some master election hacking operation run by IC criminals in league with and part of the Democrat crime syndicate. The experts Mike Lindell brought together have been quite explicit and factually well supported in laying out how the fraud goes far deep and is far more comprehensive than any sort of ham-handed ballot harvesting, ballot box suffering, or illegal vote schemes on the ground. I mean, Festerman's supposed win is beyond any rational explanation and defies every known political and electoral principle and truism we have seen hold firm throughout our entire history. Direct, surreptitious, totally undetectable, untraceable digital operation of final tabulation numbers, obviating any need for any physical intervention or tampering of any kind, are the only viable option to repel and nullify the sheer popular electoral force of such a galvanizing wave election as this one had been building up to by nearly all empirical indicators. He's got it exactly right. The Declaration of Independence inspired us. The Constitution governs us. It's a magnificent document. The distribution of powers into a legislative, executive, and judicial branch, where the legislative passes the laws, the executive enforces them, and the judiciary interprets them, is magisterial. The idea of periodic elections in order to set the record straight when the government goes off the rails, by elections every 2 years of every member of the House of Representatives and one-third of the members of the Senate, where senators are elected on six-year terms, along with recall elections, impeachment potential, public referenda, the whole bit, are intended to facilitate reforms of the government in a peaceful fashion. That covenant with the American people has, by this midterm election and the last, been irrevocably broken. It is shattered. There exists no more a compact between this American government and the Constitution of the United States and the American people. John F. Kennedy observed, "Those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable." return to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of people to alter and to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same objective, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off shut government and provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of the American people under the Biden administration, and now is a necessity that constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of these despotic tyrants, the Democrat Party, the Chuck Schumers and Nancy Pelosi's, the Barack Obama's, the George Soros, who are out to destroy America, is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states, over every American citizen. They have insulted us. They have abused us. They have lied to us. They have stolen from us. They want to reduce us to servants and slaves. They have no respect for democracy. They have no respect for the Constitution. They could care less about the future of the United States. All they want is to preserve their power and control because they fear being held to the court of justice. They fear being subjected to scrutiny. They fear having trials and tribulations that could hold them to account. This is where we stand today in America. Sad to say.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...